I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Many of you were here on Sunday night, and on Sunday night, I followed up. We had such a great week of camp, and on Sunday night, I preached about just the urgency and the necessity of active youth ministry and our part in reaching young people and having an impact on them. And I just was thinking, as I was preparing for tonight, I was thinking about my kids and your kids or your grandkids and how we're coming and approaching a brand new school year. And I just wanted to bring a Bible study tonight that really talks about the importance of Christian education. And I don't necessarily mean Christian school, homeschool, but the fact that in the education of our children, that the most important formation that's going to happen in their lives is not going to be in math or science or history class or in social studies, but the most important formation that happens in the hearts of our young people is their Christian formation. It's their leading them to follow the Lord. I've known people that have had their children in Christian schools, and those kids walk far, far, far away from the Lord. I've known people who have homeschooled their children, and their children have walked very far from the Lord. And I've known people in public schools and whose kids have walked away from the Lord. And then at the same time, I've known people in public schools, and I have very good friends who grew up in public school and are living for God and live for God through their public school experience, as well as homeschool and Christian school. So the point of this lesson basically what I'm saying is every parent makes a decision between themselves and the Lord and how they're to educate their children. However, regardless of the setting and the situation, the spiritual formation cannot be neglected. It's obvious for us to think of that, especially if your kids are in a public school environment. You know, it's in your face, so to speak. There are things you're going to have to really prepare for. But those of us where our kids are not in that environment, sometimes we can rest a little bit easy sometimes when we have to be just as vigilant in that formation. So I want to talk to you tonight about just some biblical principles of connecting our children's heart to the heart of the Lord. And I think that's what we desire. Some of you don't have children in here tonight or you're past that stage. Nonetheless, you have an influence on children you come into contact with. You also have an influence on us who are raising our children. So don't take that for granted, and I know you won't tune me out. So let's look at, first of all, did I tell you where to turn? Ephesians 6. I'm going to look at a few passages of Scripture tonight. I've basically got three or four points that I want to share with you, just a few basic things. I've got a lot of notes. I probably won't get through them all, and that's okay. I'll just stop when we run out of time. So let's look at Ephesians chapter number 6, and I want to look at verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. And the first point is very, very simple. And that is, in every home, Christ must be the heart of the home. The Lord Jesus Christ must be the heart of our homes. Let's pray, ask the Lord's help, and then we'll study the Bible. Father, we ask that you would help us to learn and to grow from what we read here tonight. I pray that our hearts would be in tune. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, well, begin at verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So the obvious and immediate command here for children and the relationship they're to have with their parents is a relationship of obedience. I've often shared that when our children are very, very young, the most important thing is that we simply teach them obedience. Just obedience, especially when they're very young. Many of us have young children. The Bible talks about the importance of obedience, the importance of discipline, and how that discipline prepares them to have a proper relationship and a proper view of God. It really troubles me that as I see among Christian young parents that I know, that I interact with everywhere, I see more and more Christian homes where the children do not obey their parents. Talking young kids, where dad or mom says, do this, put your shoe, it could be something simple like put your shoes on or do this, and they have to tell their kids 3 and 4 times to do that. So I'm not telling you, the point here isn't to lay you on a guilt trip. The point is this, If that's the case in your home, if that's the case in my home, and listen, it happens in my house too. I notice all of a sudden, it's like my kids used to listen to me the first time I spoke, and all of a sudden they're not. They're not doing that right now. Okay? That happens. And so I realize, well, I'm not doing a proper job of teaching them the very first principle of this relationship is that they are to obey me. If we can't get them to obey us when they're very young, the chances of them obeying us when they're teenagers is, I mean, just forget it. I mean, I don't mean to say it's hopeless, but it is. Okay? If they will not obey when they're 8, 9 years old and younger, then we will have a very difficult road ahead when they're teenagers. Period. So there's a lot of great Christian books on parenting. The most popular things you read about are actually things I'm going to talk about in a minute, about how we need to aim for the heart and we need to give kids the reasons why. That's all really important. But like a 3 to 6 or 7 year old, for the most part, they don't have abstract thinking skills. Just ask educators. They don't think in the abstract. They think in the literal and the physical. And I'm not an expert on when that changes and what ages there are. The point is, when they're little, don't touch that. Okay? Just do what I say. But a lot of parents, and I see this is a millennial parent problem. I see it among people in my generation. They want to sit down and have a rational discussion with their 4-year-old and explain, you know, the dynamics of, well, your relationship with God and this and all of that. I'm not saying you can't have that conversation, but what I am saying is a child just needs to know mom and dad is the authority, just do what they say. And that's why corporal punishment is such an effective tool with children. The world will tell you don't spank your kids. All of the studies show that they will be serial killers, okay? I've seen all that stuff. Most of the time, when people talk about spanking, they're not talking about biblical discipline. They're talking about a parent becoming exasperated, and when the parent reaches the furthest end of exasperation, they resort to spanking. That's not biblical discipline. That's not corporal punishment. Proper corporal punishment, and this only really works, I believe, when a child is young, 7, 8, younger. Beyond that, it's very difficult to effectively use corporal punishment. But when a child is very young, this is the instruction. They can clearly associate disobedience with pain, which is a life principle. People say that that's barbaric. It's not. It's a life principle. Throughout the rest of your life, if you disobey the rules, you will experience pain in your life. So for a young child to consistently make that application is very important. So that was my most politically incorrect statement of the year, and now we got it behind us. But it's the truth. So I believe that biblically as parents, and some of you can help share this with younger parents. And it's not just about, well, in my day we did it this way. Apply the wisdom of the Bible. Explain to young parents the importance of their children obeying the first time. I'm not telling you that because I have the model kids and just look at me, look how well my kids obey. That's not my point, because they disobey a lot, because none of us are perfect parents. But the point is, I have to have enough humility to see if my kids are misbehaving. If a 4-year-old is misbehaving, okay, who is that, a kid problem or a parent problem? It's a parent problem, okay? And I have to have enough humility to say, if my kids are not obeying me, that's my problem. They're small, they're controllable, they're manageable. Beyond that, they will not be manageable. Evangelist Dave Young told us when we were all in college, he would preach at our college a lot, and he talked a lot about this, and I took his advice. He said, and again, I don't have chapter and verse on this one, but he did. His advice was, you've got to get most of your spanking done before your kids are 8 years old. And I found that to be true in what I've observed and what I've experienced. When my oldest son was very, very young, he got a lot of spankings. Now, it's a rare thing for him to get a spanking because he's learned obedience. My youngest daughter, I guess I haven't been quite as faithful with that one, okay? How many of you, can just ask my parents how it goes from the first to the eighth and the difference in your, so I've only got four, so hopefully I won't deteriorate quite. I'm just kidding, all right? You understand, I think all parents understand the difference between the oldest and the youngest quite often. But listen, obedience is about the well-being of their soul and about their relationship to God. So it's important that we are not reactionary, but proactive. Be proactive And obedience is the first principle of parenting. We've got to teach it to our kids. And I don't tell, I never told my kids, well, I might have said it, but I try not to say things like, be good. Okay? The word is obey. You need to obey. And teach them to obey. They're never going to be good. None of us are good, but they can learn to obey. So, but that being said, we have to read verse number 4 of chapter 6. So we learn the principle of obedience, but then in verse number 4 he says this, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So notice here the responsibility of the bringing up of the children belongs to the father, not to the mother. So for women always seem to struggle with us men not taking the leadership that we're supposed to take. It's an epidemic all across Christendom is that men do not step up and fulfill their responsibility. We have that responsibility. So again, if you are a grandfather or an uncle or you have and you need to step into a young man in your life and say, "Hey, you need to lead your home." Be that person. If you're a mother and you need to step in and tell your adult son that, do it. Because it's important for men to take the lead in the discipline of children. So it says here, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, what I said about obedience is true. However, it's within the framework, number one, tonight, Christ must be the heart of our homes, must be the heart of the education of our children. Our bringing them up, we are not bringing them up to be prosperous, we are not bringing them up to be smart, we're not bringing them up to be educated. All of that stuff is secondary. It's not unimportant. But it's far more important that we aim for them to know Jesus Christ than to know calculus, right? It's most important. I'd rather my kids have a very, very low wage and live very modest lives, but honor the Lord and know the Lord, than for them to be super successful, wealthy, doing very well, but to be far from the Lord. And that's, but often in our parenting, we can miss that. I'd rather my son be faithful to the house of the Lord and the things of God than to be able to hit a baseball further than every other kid, right? I mean, that's because I'm trying to raise Christian people, not worldly people. Christ must be the heart of the home. And so we need to look for those opportunities to remind our families, to remind our kids. And fathers and mothers have that role to play, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So very simple point. First of all, Christ must be the heart of the home. Secondly, turn to Proverbs chapter 23. There's a few passages in Proverbs I want you to see very quickly. And if you would make it a habit to read the book of Proverbs, it would be a tremendous spiritual benefit to you. Proverbs 23, verse 26. I'm going to give you point number two now, if you take any notes. Point number two tonight, our goal must always be heart transformation. So remember, I said when children are young, it's so important that they simply learn to obey. But that's not sufficient. To say to it, when a child begins to be 10, 11 years old and they start to think independently, because I said so, loses its validity in them, with them. Right? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you remember when you were a kid and your dad said, you said, "Why do we do that?" And he said, "Because I said so." That may have been a power play and he may have put you in your place, but you know that did not endear your heart to your father or endear your heart to the Lord. It doesn't work that way. The goal is heart transformation. Ephesians 6 says, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't give them a reason to be angry or to be bitter. Don't give them that reason. So, Christ is the heart of the home. Then number two, the goal is heart transformation, not outward conformity. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 26. This is what the writer of Proverbs says to his son. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. He says, first of all, son, I want you to give me your heart. I want there to be a relationship between us. And then I want you to watch what I do, and I want it to change your life. That's a big statement to be able to say to our children. First of all, give me your heart, I want the relationship with you. But then secondly, I want you to watch me. This is the complete opposite of do as I say, not as I do, right? This is observe me, watch me. In fact, you see the same thing if you go to Proverbs chapter 3. Skip that back to Proverbs chapter 3. Quickly turn there, and you can see verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 1. My son, forget not my law. So here are a couple more pages turning. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, maybe across the page or the next page over, chapter 4, verse number 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. The goal of godly parenting, and the goal that we should all be striving after, whether our kids are 6 or 16, is not behavior modification, but spiritual transformation. What is the difference between, what do I mean by that? What would the difference be between behavior modification and spiritual transformation? Somebody help me with that. Anybody? Go ahead. Duty, fear, guilt, obligation, self-service. Like, well, I got to obey my mom or else my life's going to be miserable, right? I mean, there's some truth in that. You can use that. That'll get you so far. But what is the big danger in that? Somebody else. What's the great danger if we focus on the behavior modification but not the heart transformation? What's the... Exactly. What else is a danger there? What's another danger to this? This, if we focus on behavior modification instead of the spiritual heart transformation. Yeah, that's a real, you've heard of, everybody knows the idea of like over-sheltered children, right? And we as Christians get accused a lot of over-sheltering our kids. Well, that can be a misnomer, okay? Of course I want to shelter them from the destruction that's in the world. I'd be foolish not to, right? There is an unhealthy over-sheltering, though, which is not about, it's not about, well, your kids need to taste the world a little bit. No, that's foolishness. However, parents that strictly focus on follow these rules, and as long as you keep my rules and I don't let you know what goes on out there, but you'll keep my rules, you'll be okay, that would be an unbiblical kind of sheltering. Because then, as Deborah said, they have no personal convictions. They don't understand the reason why we do this. I don't want my kids to experience what's in the world, but I want them to be aware of what goes on in the world. I want them to know, I want them to see it, I want them to see the tragedy that it causes. But a lot of people would rather their kids go through the world like this. Not only not experiencing it, but completely unexposed to it, never giving them the reasons. Well, why don't we drink alcohol in this home? Well, look at what it's doing to people all around us. Well, why don't we do this? Why to aim for the heart? So these are some dangers. Those two really go together. What are other dangers of aiming for behavior modification, not the heart? What are some other dangers for us that we all need to be thinking about and on guard against? Anybody? Yeah, this is true. So if there's no heart for God and the things of God, there's no desire to please God, well, that desire hole in their life will be filled by something else. They'll desire something. We're all worshipers, right? We all worship something. Most people worship themselves and self-pleasure. So that's a good point. I'll give you another danger, and this is a little bit of a different direction. We've kind of been thinking down one school of thought. The other danger is we will become, if we focus strictly on behavior modification, we can become completely unaware of the deep spiritual problems that our kids may be dealing with right under our noses. So we can just look at the outside, and I've known kids that they look like they're good Christian kids, they're doing all the right things on the outside, and so because parents think, oh look, I've got a good kid here, they can be completely unaware that inside their heart there are some very deep-seated problems and troubles going on that will only bubble to the surface much, much later. So if we focus strictly on do this, be good, do all that, we're really going to put ourselves and put our kids at a serious spiritual disadvantage. So he says here, that's why he says you need to watch what I do, you need to observe, you need to give me your heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can accomplish spiritual transformation in their lives. It's the other important thing. We have to point them to Christ and not to themselves. Our son at camp was, every year they do Camper of the Year, and that's for the best behaved kid, which I'm always have mixed feelings about Camper of the Year. I'm not a huge fan of Camper of the Year. And so Gideon was nominated for Camper of the Year this year. And so he goes up there, and they always have Camper of the Year and honorable mentions. Somebody gets first place, somebody gets second place. And they do the honorable mention first, and Gideon got honorable mention, not Camper of the Year. And Deborah and I looked at each other, and we were like, good. I was glad. I was glad that he was good. I was glad that that happened. But I just don't want my kids to feel that because they did all of the right things that people say are the right things, that gives them some special standing or some special status. I'm not saying that would do that, but I think we all ought to have that fear. We ought to have fear for our troublemaker kids, because we all have those, but we also ought to have fear for our spiritually good kids, because you remember in the story of the prodigal son, there's both, and they both had problems. Because it's we've got to aim for the heart. And only Jesus Christ can do that. Also under this idea of giving the heart, aiming for the heart, the goal should not be for my child to love me, but for my child to love the Lord. And that can have some outworkings. We could talk about that for a while. We don't really have time, but just think about that. Also, the goal is not for my child to obey me, but to obey Jesus with their life. If I'm teaching them to have a heart for God, then I need to have my life sensitive to the Lord. And so I have to get to the point in my life where if I'm raising them, and I just don't want to think about this, like where the Najimis are at in their stage in life right now, starting to one by one release them, right? And little by little, that's the point at which we have to say, Lord, I want them to follow you. And where they follow may not be my first choice. Right? Where they go might not be the first choice I have. But if they have a heart to please the Lord, then as painful as it might be for me when that day comes, I'm going to have to yield to the Lord's will. Because after all, we're bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, not fun necessarily, but rewarding at the end of the journey. So these are just some thoughts under the goal is, so first of all, we said Christ must be the heart of our homes. And secondly, our goal is the transformation of their heart from the time they're young as they get older. So we want them to fulfill Christ's plan for their life. How do we facilitate this? This all sounds really good in the abstract, right? It's like, oh, that's great. Who wouldn't want a home where that is what takes place? So what do we do, and how do we help others facilitate that? And you, by the way, when you see, we have all these like bus kids and new Christian families, listen, don't think just because I have kids out of here, you as a mature Christian, you can help. Now, you're not going to have as much impact, but you can help a young mom. You can help a young family and say, hey, I've been where you are. Now, nobody wants all this unsolicited advice, right? Like, well, let me tell you how to raise your kids. Nobody's looking for that, okay? But at the same time, there are people that are looking for godly mentors in their life. Somebody not to stand, you know, in front of them and tell them what to do, but somebody that maybe can come alongside them and offer a helping hand. So we should look for that. So, okay, back on track. So how do we, so if this is the goal of homes and children to have a heart for God, how is this facilitated? How does it happen? What do we do? What do we do? That's a question. How do we facilitate this? Okay, well, I'm going to say turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the classic passage. Deuteronomy 6. This isn't the point, but I would say that we have to take personal responsibility for it. The Bible teaches that the ultimate responsibility for the raising and educating of our children is not the school system, Christian or otherwise. It's not the church, but the ultimate responsibility for the shepherding of our children is the parents. It's us. God has given us that responsibility. Now, throughout history, in the Jewish culture as well as in Christian societies, there have been schools and there's been educational systems, and parents have delegated certain responsibilities to people. Paul used the example of the schoolmaster very freely. In the Old Testament, the young boys would go to the synagogue to learn. So it's not that we have to do all of the teaching. However, we are responsible for what they are taught and what they're learning. And that's a serious responsibility. In fact, personally speaking, and just this is just a personal issue, point of mine, and I have friends in the ministry who they put their kids in public school, some homeschool, some Christian school. But for me, we choose to homeschool not primarily out of fear of what they would be taught in the school system, but primarily out of what they will not be taught in the school system. And that is that I love the fact that my kids are learning the Bible as part of their academics, and they're being trained up, and they're learning the scriptures, and they're seeing how it applies to every academic pursuit that they have. So these are the kinds of things that we all have to be aware of to make sure that if they're not getting it, that we are instilling it in them. It may mean buying some stuff for like you guys whose kids are in public school or your family's in public school. It may mean buying some extra material to say, hey, as a family, let's go through these devotions together. Let's do this. I mean, it's just practical stuff that could be helpful. Because honestly, whatever school environment they're in, 6 to 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, a couple hours of Sunday school and church does not make up for all of that. It just doesn't. So, the third point and the final point, so we said that that Christ has to be the heart of the home, and the goal has got to be heart transformation. The thirdly is parents must make spiritual connections. Parents must focus on spiritual connections with their kids. And again, not just parents, but anyone who has an opportunity to influence a young person, teenager or young. And I would say that those connections become more important the older our kids get. The closer our kids get to leaving, the more time that we must invest in them. So, Deuteronomy chapter 6, talking about making connections. Look at verses 6 and 7. Well, we should read verse number 5 first. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Notice the word there, not just teach them, but he gives you the manner in which we are to teach them. Teach them diligently. It should be a focus of our lives. As diligent as we are to keep our jobs, as diligent as we are to prosper and provide as dads, we must be diligent about ensuring that we are teaching the Word of God to our children. And how does it happen? It doesn't happen in a classroom, actually. Look at what it says. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. What he's saying here is our daily life as Christians, as parents, as influencers of children, when we are around them, when we are with them, we are to be intentionally teaching the Word of God to them. Intentionally teaching the Word of God to them. Now, we have to... I was talking with people recently in that it used to be families met for dinner and had dinner. It just doesn't happen anymore. It literally doesn't happen in most families nowadays. And that's unfortunate. We need to have times where we gather together and make those connections. One of the best things we can do, especially as guys, is if we've got a project or a plan or something going on, is simply to bring our kids along with us. And they're going to, depending on how old they are, especially when they get to be teenagers, they're going to say, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, too bad, you're coming with me anyway. That's just got to be the way it is. They might be useless on the job, but over time, time spent enables us to make those connections. You hear people say, well, I don't have a lot of quantity time, but I've got quality time. It usually doesn't work that way. Usually, quality time comes from spending quantity time with our kids. The Lord convicts me about that. It's got to be purposeful. I have to plan it. And really, I like the fact that it seems like a new school year gives us a new opportunity to reevaluate and reassess these things. And I know I need to. Probably that is the area, this last point is the area that I struggle with the most. I tend to be authoritarian by nature. It's just my thing. I want my kids to obey me. That's part of my, it's in my DNA. Other parents aren't. They're more nurturing, fun, and they want it. My brother Aaron is probably the complete opposite of me in that regard. It's part of his personality. So if you were to compare mine and his parenting style, he would be the one a lot more likely to spend a lot more time with his kids and really nurture that relationship, but they might not always do what he says. Okay, you know what I'm saying? I don't think he would have a problem with me sharing this. I would be the opposite extreme. I would be the person that, my kids are going to obey me, they're going to do what I say, but I'm going to sometimes find myself too busy to spend time with my kids. And that's not good. That's a problem. Probably my problem is a bigger danger than his problem, to be honest with you. Because a child that's trained to be obedient, but we don't maintain a close relationship, that's a breeding ground for rebellion right there. Well, my dad wants me to do what he says, but he never has any time for me. I'm not saying I don't have any time for my kids, all right? But I'm saying if I'm going to fall into one of those two, you got to be aware of what your weakness is, right? You got to know what it is. Because none of us are going to I'm a Christian and I have kids, so obviously I'm going to have a Christian home. That's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. So we've got to be aware of where we're going to fall short. Our spouses can help us tremendously with that, because usually it's easy for them to see those things. And so we have to try our best to be a team in that kind of regard. So to me, this last point, the new school year is a great time to be like, you know what? When am I going to plan to spend time with my kids? When am I going to plan to do this? Vacations are important. That kind of time spent, it's important time. Quality time comes out of quantity time. Super important. And as we do that, then how do we facilitate this? We facilitate it by literally starting by just spending time with our kids. Grandparents, you have opportunities to just spend time with your grandkids and just spend time with them. My one step grandfather, Bob DeWolf, who I didn't get to spend a lot of time with, but all of the time that I spent with him he made a distinct impression on my life. It was distinct, the impression that he made. And little things like hearing him pray over a meal, looking at the books that were on his bookshelf. Just this past year, I was in Florida at my grandmother's, and he went to be with the Lord, I don't know, probably 8 years ago now. Probably 10 years ago. So my grandmother has all these books and stuff, and I got to, she had to get rid of just so many books. I got to pick through the books that I wanted. And there were some books that I got from my grandfather, and one of them was just really awesome how the Lord led me to this book. But when a friend of mine had recommended this book to me, I thought, maybe I'll read it someday, and just forgot about it. I'm looking through the bookshelf, and there's that book. So I grab it. Inside, apparently a friend of my grandfather had sent him this book in like 2001, I think was the date on the letter. And there was a personal note typed out from one of my grandfather's friends to him about why he should read this book. Isn't that, it's just really cool. And I mean, I still have that, I have that in that book. But it was just awesome to see this little glimpse that my grandfather had a real spiritual walk with the Lord. And he had friends who walked with the Lord. And they spent time, and he was never a pastor. He taught Sunday school, I think. And was in a lot of ways, he did very well with his life financially. In many ways, he was philanthropic with his resources. And just a legacy like that, where I didn't spend a lot of time with him. I'm just saying, I just want to encourage all of you who maybe don't have kids at home, or you're not at that stage of life, and that's who most of this has been applicable to, you'd be surprised the impact that you still can have. The time that you have, the influence that you can have, can be spiritual. When you're walking in the way, when you are, when you're, what does it say here? When you lie down, when you walk by the way, all these things. My other grandparents who didn't even know the Lord had a tremendous impact on my life as far as work ethic and some other areas in life. But just the worst thing that could be said when it all comes to the end is that we didn't have time for our kids. That would be the one thing I wouldn't want to be said. And we need to point them to the Lord. Let's take this time of year, let's reevaluate, and let's pray, God, I want you to be the center of their lives. I want you to be the center of their homes. My son, the writer of Proverbs said, give me thine heart. Anyway, I rambled a bit tonight, shared some verses with you. Hopefully they'll help you, and we'll all endeavor to honor the Lord and the influence we have over young people. Let's pray, and then we'll go to our prayer time tonight. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to study it, to know it. We pray for our children as they're even downstairs right now. We pray that that you'd shepherd their hearts and help us to have a meaningful impact in their lives. Bless this prayer time now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.